Is his wonderful name. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them that I am redeemed. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Could God's redeemed people just lift your hands and just bless the name of the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have tasted of his redemption, you ought to lift your hands and bless his wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We were sinful, we're cut off from the presence of the Lord God. But by his blood, Jesus coming into this world to shed his blood, gave of himself that we could inherit eternal life. Hallelujah. We praise him this morning. We lift him up this morning. We give him the glory. We give him the praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I take this opportunity one more time just to greet everyone in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. I want to greet all the visiting ones who have taken the time out one more time just to join us. Perhaps you're on Zoom or you're listening or watching on YouTube. And this morning, for the first time, we're live on Facebook. We want to give God thanks for the team that's working along that line and making it possible for us to be on these platforms. We want to greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. And we trust our prayers this morning is that you will, if you have not yet surrendered your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying that you will surrender to Jesus. Life begins with him. Praise his wonderful name. In this atmosphere, I'm just going to ask everyone to bow their heads at this time. As we'll be embarking on the ministry of God's word, we're going to ask the Lord for his leading, for his direction. His words are already anointed, but we're going to ask him right now just to touch us one more time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we give you thanks one more time for your presence. Give you thanks for your goodness. Give you thanks for the gift of life. Lord, as we are gathered online, praising and worshiping your wonderful name, we want to be careful, God, that we're giving you our entire attention. Lord Jesus, this is not an escape from your presence. Lord God, considering the circumstances that we are experiencing at this time, we're grateful that we still have an opportunity to meet together, Lord Jesus, to worship your holy name. Lord God, as several of us at this time are in quarantine, we are hearing of that word so in so many different ways, God. But I thank you this morning that you are never quarantined. Your presence is alive. Your presence can be felt. It can be experienced. Lord God, deliverance is still in operation. Healing is still in operation. Oh God Almighty, hallelujah. Transformation, Lord God Almighty. We thank you this morning. I pray this morning, God, for unction from you. I pray that you will touch me like only you can. Lay your hands on me, a lump of clay, Lord God Almighty, to speak your word. Lord, let not the words be of my own opinion, Lord Jesus, but may you anoint me to speak what you want me to share with your people, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray even now, God Almighty, that you will remove every spirit of darkness and you cause your light to shine in, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it right now, and we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We say thanks one more time in your precious name. Praise the name of the Lord. We want to give him thanks one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is worthy to be praised. This morning, I want to take the time out just to speak to us from the subject of pride. The subject of pride. Excuse me. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," or wisdom, from the King James Version. "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 8 in verse 13 tells us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. In Proverbs 16 and verse 5, it tells us, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." The Lord detests the proud. Everyone, every single person, every single individual who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. "Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Tell somebody, the proud in heart will be punished. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, very familiar scripture, tells us, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Pride. When you see pride, you can look behind. Destruction is coming. When you see pride, there's another cart that it's pulling behind. It's called the cart of destruction. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18 in verse 12 tells us, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty." You ever wonder why you see some things that happen in individuals' life? Wonder, how could this measure of destruction be meted out to such an individual? Oftentimes, it's just the punishment of pride in an individual's life. "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Praise the name of the Lord. In the book of Genesis, we recognize that man was made in the likeness and the image of God. If we remember clearly, the account in Genesis tells us that God molded man from the dust. It's very good for us at times when we go on the outside and we look down and look on the ground, on the earth, for us to meditate and to think and to know that's where we're coming from. This body that you see was molded from the dirt, from the earth, from dust. It doesn't matter what we achieve in this life. Tell someone, man is dust. Doesn't matter how much we acquire in this life. From the dust we came, and to the dust we will return. In the account in Genesis, we recognize that God molded man from the dust. And man was just simply a lump of clay. Could not move, could not do anything, could not think, could not speak. It was just a lump of clay. Similar to what you see in the potter's house, many vessels that were created on a wheel. But as soon as it's created, it's put aside. It's just a piece of clay in an art form. So was man until God blew in his nostril the breath of life. The Bible tells us that man became a living soul. That's why man should not boast, because without God, he's nothing. If God should hold back his breath, man will fall into his former state, where he lies lifeless and is carried away by men to return to the dust. But there is an element of deceit in the mind of men that no sooner than they begin to acquire knowledge and lust after the things in this world, recognize that pride comes in and dethrone God and enthrone the spirit of man, the self-will. Book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 tells us, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Proverbs 25 and verse 14 tells us, whosoever boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. He's empty. He looks as if he can promise something that he can't deliver. Proverbs 26 and verse 12 tells us, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Man who is wise in his own conceit, is deceived by the spirit of pride, thinks more of himself than he is. This book says there is more hope for a fool than such a man. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 tells us, let no man deceive himself. Don't be fooled. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. The spirit of pride. Dethrone God, who should be seated on the heart of a man, and enthrones his own will. No wonder while Jesus was selecting his disciples and calling men unto himself, he said, if any man desire to come after me, let him first deny himself. In other words, if you're going to follow me, you have to give me the throne of your heart. Let him first deny himself. Cut loose from pride. Take up his cross. And then he can follow me. Pride pride began in heaven. It is the sin that was first discovered in heaven. In Isaiah 14 and verse 13, it tells us of the rebellion of Lucifer. He said, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." This is a created being that desire to be like the Creator. He refuses to be governed by the Most High. You see, the language of the proud begins with I. Isaiah, it tells us the statements of Lucifer. I will ascend into heaven. That's my will. That's my desire. That's my determination. That's what I'm going after. I will. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. It doesn't matter if that place does not belong to me. I will. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's the spirit of pride that began in a great rebellion in heaven. And God cast him out of heaven. Pride walks with rebellion. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 verse 1. Bible said that, I believe I'm reading from the King James Version. It said, "Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, and of wood, and of stone. Holy vessels in an unholy party or convention." He said, "In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote this dinner, this party. They're drinking from the vessels that came from the temple, the sacred vessels. And suddenly there appeared a hand, a part of a hand, writing on the plaster of the king's wall in the palace. And the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and she shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reasons of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now, let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou the Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and the light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for majesty that he gave him, all people, nation, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and whom he kept alive, and whom he set up, and whom he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride." Hello? Pride hardens the mind of any individual. Man who is proud becomes hard in his mind and cannot perceive the things of God. Can't see clearly. Bible said he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Hello, somebody. When God judges pride, it's a serious thing. Man became like a beast, and his stomach was changed even to digest the grass of the field. Could not die. He had to live in his judgment until he confessed that the Most High, who rules in the heaven, is God. Daniel said, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart. Thou don't knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of this house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear not, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. It came from God. And this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel upar sin. This is the interpretation of thine many. God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel. Commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of that Chaldeans, slain. That very same night. In reading this passage of scripture, quite a lengthy one, we recognize the pride that caused Nebuchadnezzar to be judge of the Lord. The same influence of pride sat on the throne, on the heart of Belshazzar. He did not remember what took place with his father. But he occupied the throne, and he was lifted up in pride. He took the holy vessels that Nebuchadnezzar took from Jerusalem, from the temple of the Lord. And in a banquet, an unholy banquet, lifted up the vessels of the Lord, drinking wine in the presence of idols, and desecrated the vessels of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the question should be asked, how did God vessel, the consecrated vessel of the Lord, ended up in Babylon? Let's look in Proverbs 15 and verse 25. Bible said, "The Lord tears down the house of the proud." Every proud man should be worried. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he protects the property of the widows. Proverbs 15 and verse 25. In the book of 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 31, tells us of the life of Hezekiah. An account of what happened when ambassadors from Babylon came to visit him from the kingdom of which Belshazzar was presently, in the text of Daniel chapter 5, the king of. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 31. Bible said, however, and this speaks to all the wonderful things that Hezekiah had done. He amassed great wealth, brought water into the city of Jerusalem, and made several aqueducts to transport water from the springs, and that Jerusalem, the land of Israel, was quite different. But Bible said, however, when ambassadors arrived from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land, God withdrew himself from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. God does test us. The divine presence removed himself from Hezekiah to test him to see what was really in his heart. The question is, we serve an omniscient God. He knows everything. What the text is telling us, that God wanted to show Hezekiah what his heart was really like. God knew what was in Hezekiah's heart, but he wanted him to understand what was in his heart. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 13. Bible said, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them, the ambassadors from Babylon, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. 2 Kings 20 and verse 13. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. The foolishness of pride. The ambassadors came from Babylon and he showed them all the precious vessels of the Lord in the temple. All that he had done, all the riches he had amassed, he showed it to them. Even the spices, precious ointment, his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. Bible said, there was nothing in his house, Kashamba, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. He exposed everything to the enemy because of pride. The Bible said immediately, then came the prophet Isaiah unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? What meaneth the visit of these men from Babylon? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among thy treasures that I have not showed them. Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord. Pride. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he protects the property of the widow. That's the Lord. In the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he took Jehoiakim prisoner, as the Lord had said beforehand. Nebuchadnezzar carried away all the treasures from the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He stripped away all the gold objects that King Solomon of Israel had placed in the temple. Oh, God Almighty. He tears down the house of the proud, but he protects the property of the widow. Bible said that he stripped away all the gold objects that King Solomon of Israel had placed in the temple. King Nebuchadnezzar took all of Jerusalem captive, including all the commanders and the best of the soldiers, craftsmen and artisans, 10,000 in all. Only the poorest people were left in the land. Hello, he protects the house of the widow, the property of the widow. Only the poorest people were left in the land. Everything else is gone. The question is asked, how did Belshazzar ended up with these vessels? One godly man who gave room to pride. One man whom the Lord had blessed that made space in his heart for pride. That caused the divine presence to leave and allowed him to be governed by his own heart. When the enemy came, he showed the enemy everything that was in his house. He showed the enemy everything that was in the Lord's house. Expose it. Brothers and sisters, and don't you understand at times, and that even those who ended up at times in the church walking away from the presence of the Lord, it's because of pride that sits on their throne. Hezekiah was ready to show the ambassadors from Babylon everything that he had done. He gave nothing in the account would allow us to know that he told them that this is what God had done. This is what God had given us. But he, on a spree, on a foolish ride, for pride is foolishness. He began to show them everything that was in the Holy Land. Pride will reveal everything. Bible said, not before long, the prophet came by and began to speak to him. Don't you know that everything that you have shown them will be taken away from this house and be carried away into Babylon? You will go in peace to your grave, but it will happen after you have gone. Bible speaks of us, individuals, Christians. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. He said, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged He are not straightened in us, but he are straightened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be he also enlarged. Be he not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Because our body is the temple of the living God. He said, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what control hath Christ with Belial? In other words, if we're vessels of the Lord, there's something to protect. If we're called, we're consecrated unto the Lord to be holy, there's something to be protected. Hezekiah, in his element of pride, did not consider, or did not even observe that the things of the temple are sacred and has everything to do with the worship of the Lord. Why show it to strangers? But pride was seated in his heart. No wonder Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, he said, what fellowship, what agreement had the temple of God with idols? Pride leads to idolatry. In fact, it is idolatry, because what happens, a man enthrone himself and dethrone God. He becomes his own God. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The spirit of pride has an agenda. Its agenda is to take you out. Doesn't matter how much you think about yourself. Some folks are so self-righteous. That's pride. Think so much about their righteousness. I thank God I'm not like them. I am so saved. I thank God I know how to pray. I don't pray like them. You begin to compare yourselves with others. That's pride. The Bible tells us about an individual called Herod in Acts chapter 12, who refused to give glory to God. Bible said, Acts chapter 12 and verse 20, as we look at different individuals, say Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. He was angry. And I can bet you that anger came from the spirit of pride. So they sent a delegation to make peace with him, because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. The proud likes or takes pride in when people are dependent on them. Bible said the delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It's the voice of a god, not of a man." Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Pride. We have it in the church. Not only in what we consider the Old Testament, but right in the church. Proud people. Proud people. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 tells us pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Pride. Let's look at the third epistle of John, chapter 9. Here John writes, same John who was on the Isle of Patmos, same John who wrote the gospel. He's writing now the third epistle, verse 9. He said, I wrote to the church about this. You can read the earlier verses which speak about taking care of those who were preaching to the congregation and those who were traveling, stopping by the assembly, that the church should take care of them, feed them, make sure they give them room to stay and so forth. John said, I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, pride. He thinks of himself more highly than he ought to. He thinks he's a leader, but he's like a cloud that promises no rain. Bible said he refuses to have anything to do with us. A conflict. Here is a man. We never heard anything of him in the ministry of Jesus. Here is John, the disciple who Jesus loved. The one who saw Christ himself. The one who touched him. The one who oftentimes was leaning upon his chest. He's instructing the church. But there's a man in the assembly that refuses the instruction of the elder. Pride. He refuses to have anything to do with John and his team in the ministry. He does not want to be governed by the authority that God has placed in the assembly. He refuses. The spirit of pride. And what happens? It acts out in a conflict. John writes, John gives instruction, but he refuses to listen. And what he does, he gathers to himself a team of people. Pride starts with a single individual. He does not want to be governed by the word. Have you ever recognized in the church, we live in a time when men become so boastful. They don't mind having some part of God's word. But when the word of the Lord reaches certain areas, they can't be governed by it. That's because a spirit of pride sits on the throne. It's either you take everything or nothing at all. My God Almighty. But the Bible said that John said, when I come, I will report some of the things he's doing and the evil accusations he's making against us. Pride. Allow the individual to look ungood and denounce it. Speak evil of good, criticize what the good of others, pride. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. Oh, God. So his very belief system, his action, he's not comfortable in keeping it to himself, but he's going to influence others to do the same. Pride that leads into rebellion. And when they do help, listen to this man. He's in the church. When they do help the traveling ministers, he puts them out of the church. Pride. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children. And those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Pride. It's easy for us to say, we don't, we're not, I'm not a proud person. It's easy for us to say. But pride is a killer. It takes you from the path that God wants you to be on. The divine declared path. And cheats you out of it. Why? Because the proud man demands his own way. Cheats you from contentment. Because you're never, proud person is never satisfied. He always thinks he deserves better. A proud man will never receive revelation and knowledge from the Lord. Why? Because he thinks he knows everything. Proud man sounds like this. Well, I've been in the church for a very long time. And I've never seen anything like that. That is not the church. You question. You recognize that that person has been in the church for 30 years, 33 years. But what has happened to that person? From the 14th year, they have gotten proud. God tested them. They've gotten proud. And their knowledge of the church is 14 years, not 33. Because they are cheated from the wisdom of God because of pride. Proud people, they focus on people's failures. They look on others and criticize. They're critical of the failures of others. It's proud. Critical fault-finding spirit. Some of them are like scuba divers. They dive real deep. Search up the ways of other individuals, secrets of other individuals to find a fault. I was listening. A brother was telling me once that he was in a sermon and a preacher turned up to preach at that sermon. He was in a service, rather, and a preacher turned up to preach that night. And as he sat down, he sat beside some missionaries. And he heard one of them said, "Do you have anything on this man?" Hello, right in the church, trying to find something to criticize of the preacher. Malakusha, become critical. Such was Miriam. Miriam looked on his brother, Moses. She looked on her brother, and they begin to criticize his relationship, his wife. Became critical of him. They found some kind of fault. The Lord observed the actions of Miriam and was not pleased. Struck her with leprosy. The wise men will say, as Gamaliel did, see something in the assembly, does not have knowledge, enough knowledge about such a thing. The wise man will seal his lips and wait on God to reveal. Gamaliel said, if this thing is of God, don't you touch it. Because if it's of God, it is going to prosper. We can't stop it. But if it's not of God, just give it some time. Time will reveal it. A proud person is self-righteous. And look down on others. That's a proud person. Independent and self-sufficient spirit. They can't be helped. They're always right. And they have a demanding spirit. They always desire to be served. They're not servants. They're driven to be recognized and appreciated by others. Every act of the proud person, they want it to be highlighted that others may see them and appreciate them. That's a proud person. When other persons are promoted, they are wounded. They can't stand to see others promoted. A proud person. Very self-conscious. Easily offended. Proud, proud person. They quickly blame others and they refuse to accept responsibility. Proud. Cain, where's that brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Why are you asking me such questions? Proud people, they don't. You never find proud people confessing their sins. And if they do, it's always general and not genuine. They cannot apologize or ask for forgiveness because they can never be wrong. If I have sinned against anyone, they know. They can never say, please forgive me. They're very defensive when corrected. very defensive. Why? Your spirit of pride. Because the correction is cutting against the will of the individual. So they become defensive. They have lots of barriers. What others think of them is very important. And they want to be respected by everyone. But they themselves show no respect to others. Pride. It's right in the church. There was a time when the Holy Ghost could take control. There was a time when the Lord speaks, men will weep and cry before God. There was a time when the words of the Lord was read in the assembly. Men would open their mouths and say, Amen. Folks have become so knowledgeable, so wise in their own eyes. They don't know there's a spirit of deception that's sitting on them. They've gotten proud. Some have not recognized that the divine presence have given you space for us to recognize how corrupt our heart is. Mama Kotoshanda. We don't realize. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul said to Timothy, you should know that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Why? For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. It's evident that spirit has crept right into the assembly. You find folks who would fall on their face and pray. You see them when they had no jobs. They would pray day, night, pray. Suddenly they get a little blessing from the Lord. And the blessing has taken them away from the presence of the Lord. Prayer meetings, you don't see them. They forget when they didn't have anything. The Lord cared for them. When they didn't have a job, the Lord provided for them. But now they have grown proud. But Paul writes, he said, they are boastful, high-minded, they're proud. They love their money. They scoff at God. They enthrone themselves and dethrone God. Pride. And God will not share the throne of a man's heart with the spirit of pride. He wants total control. Hallelujah. That's why he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 going down, he said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Your vessel belongs to me and to me alone. Pride has corrupted you. Pride has caused you to join yourself, my God, with Belial. Pride has caused you to walk with those who are in darkness. But I'm saying to you, come out from among them. Be he separated. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. God must have preeminence over the believer's life. Pride must be uprooted. Pride must be evicted from the believer's life if God is going to influence our being, if God is going to shape our character, if God is going to save us. He can save us with the proud. Lift your hands. Magnify the Lord. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. It was the king Uzziah who came into the temple of the Lord with a censer in his hand. The proud person, he demand his own ways. Uzziah came with a censer. He's the king, and he wants to do the priestly work. The censer and demanding that he's going to burn incense to the Lord, and immediately God struck him with leprosy. And the priest, they saw it on his forehead. And pride caused him to live out his days all by himself. He had to leave the palace and live like a leper until the day he died. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, and it will be punished. Lift your hands, my God Almighty. Hallelujah. We have to recognize that the church of the living God has no place for pride, no place for proud ministers, no place, my God, for proud people in the assembly of the Lord. This is the church that's called out by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's governed by the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes we see things and we don't understand. Leave it to God. Don't get proud. Don't get out of your place. Leave everything to God. But there's certainly destruction that's coming for the proud man who refuses to repent. It's not my words, it's the word of the living God. Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't come for anyone to shout this morning. I come to speak a word into the spirit of the people of God. Too much pride in the assembly of the Lord. And pride rejects holiness. My God Almighty. Pride tolerates evil in the assembly of the Lord. It rejects holiness. It has nothing to do with holiness. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Pride does not want good, my God, to prosper. My God, the ways of the Lord, my God Almighty, is an enemy to the proud in heart. It rejects evil. It rejects good and promotes evil. Pride tolerates evil. Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. I know time is far spent, but I'm going to preach it. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, Paul writes, I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something that even pagans don't do. There was a man in the assembly that who had taken his stepmother as his wife. He said, I am told that a man in the church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves. That's in the congregation. It's happening. And nobody wants to talk about it. In fact, Paul is saying, they're puffed up. They're proud. But you should be mourning in sorrow and shame. But you're proud. That's pride. It tolerates evil. It looks on evil in the assembly and closes their eye, turn the head and keeps a smile and have nothing to say. But the righteous, my God Almighty, something stirs up in the righteous man. He can't keep quiet. Paul said, I've heard about it and I'm writing to you that you, hallelujah, have this individual in the assembly, a man living in sin with his stepmother, and you are puffed up, you are proud, you have nothing to say. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame. Pride does not know shame. You should remove this man from your fellowship. Verse 6 tells us, Paul said, your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a yeast and spreads through the whole batch of dough? Pride will leave sin in the congregation unchecked because its ultimate goal is to bring destruction upon the assembly. That's why the watchman has got to watch. He's got to set his face like a flint and preach the word of the living God. Whether they hear or they forbear, you're going to preach righteousness, my God Almighty. Hallelujah. You've got to preach sanctification, my God. For the whole house of the Lord should be holy. And if it's exposed to the ambassadors from Babylon, what will become of it? Is it a little yeast? Sin unchecked spreads throughout the congregation. Not before long, the whole assembly is in sin. No wonder when they rose up against Moses, Moses took no chance in the act of rebellion that was stemming from pride. Moses took no chance, gave them one night to repent. But the following day, destruction was meted out. Pride, it destroys the individual. We're going to be praying. Mashanda Kosaya. Let's unmute our microphones. We're going to be praying against the spirit of pride, repenting. If you're struggling with pride, it's hard for you to ask for help. It's very difficult. In fact, in asking, you're very general. There's a mountain of shame to overcome. But the Lord wants to deliver us from the spirit of pride. Let us pray.